Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Good evening, and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Lingwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, especially when you share God's love with others. And indeed, you will. You will feel God's love when you share it with others. We're still engaged in a battle against a virus. We're in a battle against evil in many ways. I hope that you've been able to deepen your prayer life in some way, and that as things get a little bit better, we have to be very careful that we don't back off, back down, and can continue to deepen that prayer life, because there's going to be, it seems, more and more places in the world where this virus is going to be active, in Brazil right now. So we need to pray for the people of Brazil and pray for those who are still dying in various places in our country every day. I'd like to begin our program with a story that is based on faith and formed with imagination. Jesus climbed into the boat with John, and they rowed out a good distance from the shore, where they relaxed for a while, enjoying the calm water and blue sky, the peace and the silence. "Isn't it beautiful out here, Master?" John asked. Jesus didn't answer. He seemed to be lost in thought. And then Jesus became a little annoyed when Jesus didn't answer. He seemed to be lost in thought or in prayer. And John was impatient with Jesus when he didn't respond. And so he said in a loud voice, at least loud enough to attract his attention, "Master, you've got to get away from people once in a while." Jesus nodded his head slowly but firmly from side to side and said, "No, John. For however long my Father gives me, I shall walk the earth and speak his words to as many as will listen to them." Jesus had responded to John's impatience and kindness with kindness and truth. So John, feeling very foolish all of a sudden, decided it might be best to change the topic of their conversation. And so he asked, "Master, why do you teach us some things in such roundabout ways with stories, often in parables?" A gentle, The brilliant smile filled Jesus' face because he recognized what John was doing, but he also knew his question was asked sincerely and honestly. John, he said, you have been with me for such a long time, and still you do not remember, you do not understand? Like the petals that make up a flower, my stories have many levels of meaning. But as the petals are slowly removed one by one, you can see into the heart and soul of one of my Father's soul truths. John responded, but Master, I still don't understand, because you have answered my question with still another image. And neither do I always understand, Jesus said, for I only tell you what my Father tells me. No one fully understands the wisdom of the Father. Then Jesus leaned over the edge of the boat and looked at the image of his face reflected in the water. He poked it with his finger, made ripples, and said, And many will distort my Father's words, twisting and turning them to suit their own needs, or to condemn and attack others. Sticks can be used to beat and hurt an animal or another human being. They can be gathered to give warmth or to bake bread. Words, too, can also be used in many ways. My Father forms his rules with them. And not too long ago, John, you used words to express your impatience. Words like the leaves on a tree were created to give comfort in life. Stories help people to remember my Father's words, and in remembering them, to think about them, discover their meaning, and apply that truth to their own lives. There are still many truths to be learned about the earth, the sea, the sky, about man, and there are still many truths to be learned about my Father's words. Tonight we're going to be talking about stories. We're going to be talking about words. And our guest this evening has collected what has been described as 70 true life confidence boosting stories, which present convincing evidence that God is actively present in our lives and helping us out. I'm going to invite you later on to see if some way during this during the epidemic we're undergoing now, if there is some evidence in your life that God is actively involved, something you've learned. And the title of the book where she has had these stories published, we'll say a little bit more about her in just a little bit, is Seeing God's Action in Our Lives. It is a part of the Chicken Soups for the Soul series, subtitled Every Day Catholicism series. And I'm going later to summarize the stories, but this one I want to read all the way through. It's one of the shorter ones, and I want to be able to give you a flavor as we talk about some of the other stories and maybe also about some of your stories. This particular story submitted by Tom Calabrese. On a stormy August night, my father and I went out to walk the dog. I was 6 at the time and did everything with my dad, my best friend. As we walked, we talked about baseball. And I soaked in every word my father had to say. We got all wet in the rain, and he joked about Mom would be worried about us. Being with my dad was always fun, no matter what we were doing. Shortly after we returned home, Dad and I lay down in bed and turned into the ball game on his portable TV. He said he wasn't feeling well, and before I knew what was happening, he had a massive heart attack. Time seemed to stand still as he died right there in front of me. An image that 41 years later is still as vivid as if it happened yesterday. Soon after the police and the ambulance arrived, our parish priest came to the house to give my father a blessing. He stayed with my family as the undertaker came and took my father away. There were many people in the house. The scene was chaotic. I was confused and scared. The priest, Father Michael Judge, came and sat by me. I was crying and overwhelmed with grief. He told me that it was okay to be sad, but offered that he was sure that my father was in heaven with God. I sobbed, "I don't want him to be in heaven. I want him to be with me." He understood and just kept holding me as I wept. I tried to put my feelings of despair into words. By being so young, it was hard. Now I have no one to play catch with in the yard all the time. He just listened and assured me everything would be okay. Those were the last things I can remember until after my father was buried and all the family and friends left. It was then that I realized my dad was never coming home again. I was so lonely. My mom seemed depressed and really could not do much to comfort me, although I am sure she wanted to. My sister was handling her grief the best she could. It was just hard for me to make sense of what was happening. One day, the doorbell rang and I heard my mom talking to a familiar voice. Father Michael had stopped by to see how we were doing. My mom called to me, and when I came down, he stood in the living room with his baseball glove. "Want to play catch?" At first, I resisted his efforts to fill the void in my life, but he persisted and returned every chance he could to play catch and spend time. Soon we became friends, and he helped me sort my feelings and to get my life going in a positive direction. He taught me how to accept what had happened and to find hope in God that someday my dad and I would be united. He checked in on me all the same. I grew older, and Father Michael got transferred to another parish, and although we kept in touch, I saw him less and less. Throughout the years, he kept in touch with my mother, inquiring about how my sister and I were doing. He was pleased to hear that I had a family of my own and three kids that I did everything with. On September 11th, I sat in front of my TV watching the horrors unfold at the World Trade Center. I couldn't believe what was happening. Then the news broke. Father Michael Judge, the New York City Fire Department chaplain, has been killed at the site while trying to bring comfort to victims, firefighters, and police. As Father Michael's picture flashed on the screen, the news reporter described this beloved priest was carried by firefighters he served to a local church. I was stunned and was instantly overcome with emotion. In the weeks that followed, I attended a memorial service for him at a parish near where I grew up. One by one, people came forward with a story of how Father Michael brought comfort to them in times of need. I could not believe how one man could have had the time to serve so many with so much love and caring. After the ceremony, I talked to an elderly woman who told a story quite similar to mine. I asked her why she thought she had taken such an interest in people like us, who were dealing with the loss of a parent. She told me that when he was young, his father passed away unexpectedly, and that he made helping those in this situation a priority in his life. It all started to make sense to me. When I returned home, I was sitting around feeling blue. My oldest son was 7 at the time and asked me why I was so sad. I told him that Father Michael was a very old friend who died during the attack 2 weeks before, how he had helped me and so many others like me, and how he always came to play catch with me to help make me feel better. I explained, "Father Michael is in heaven, but I'm sad to have lost a friend." My little boy thought about this for a moment and then reasoned with the simple and beautiful logic that only a child could have. "Don't worry, Dad. I think he's probably happy to be there, because don't all priests want to be with God?" Then he grabbed his glove and said, "Want to play catch?" Powerful story. One story like 70 stories that are in the book. And the author is Leanne Tiemann, who is a nationally acclaimed professional speaker, author, and nurse, who was, quote-unquote, accidentally caught up in the Vietnam orphan airlift in 1975. Her book, This Must Be My Brother, details daring adventure of helping to rescue 300 babies as Saigon was falling to the communists. An ordinary person, she struggled through extraordinary circumstances and found the courage to succeed. And after her Operation Baby Lift story was featured in Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul, Leanne became one of Chicken Soup's most prolific writers. As a renowned motivational speaker, Leanne inspires audiences to balance their lives, truly live their priorities, and make a difference in the world, something of what we need even now. She is one of about 10% of speakers worldwide to have earned the Certified Speaking Professional Designation Award and has been inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. Leanne Tiemann, welcome to Amplify.
Good evening. It is my joy to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about, some people are going to remember what happened in 1975 and with the materials that came with the book, the publicity materials. There's this wonderful picture of you as a young woman in the back of what must have been a van with all these babies, young babies, all over the floor and the seats and everywhere else. It was just an unbelievable picture. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that situation and where it has led you in your life.
It's an unbelievable picture because it was a truly an unbelievable, miraculous adventure. Well, it all started because I was a volunteer for an organization called Friends of Children of Vietnam, FCVN, and my basement was the Iowa headquarters when I lived there back in the early 70s, and there was a handful of us, maybe six or eight young moms and co-workers, and we collected supplies to send to the war orphans. As a matter of fact, we collected 5 tons of supplies and shipped them in 3 years. So maybe that's why the headquarters then in Denver asked if I would be the next escort to go to Vietnam and escort 6 babies, keyword there, six back to their pre-assigned adoptive homes. Well, between the time I said, yes, I will go, and the day before I left, there was a tremendous Viet Cong offensive. As a matter of fact, on the morning before I was to leave, I heard on the radio that there was bombing within 1 mile of Saigon. So an important part of the story, Father, is that people would say, how could you go then? And it's only because it happened to be Easter Sunday, and as the service ended, Mark, my wonderful husband, took our 2 little girls, 2 and 3, downstairs for donuts, and I went back into the sanctuary and dropped to my knees, bawling and begging God for a sign I didn't have to go. But instead, I was just filled with this courage, this conviction, this certainty, of course I'd go, I'd be back, I'd be safe. It probably took me 10 or 15 years to realize that was really a Holy Spirit moment. But I left the church that day confident and faith-filled, and I knew I'd be home and I'd be back, or I never, ever would have left my family. And when I got to Vietnam, I was greeted with these words. Have you heard the news? President Gerald Ford okayed Operation Baby Lift.
Can we stop right there?
Take out.
Can we stop right there? Let's stop right there because we need to take this break. I'm sorry I took up some time, but let's stop with the announcement of Baby Ship. Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest this evening is Leanne Tiemann. I had cut her short on a story I had asked her to talk about Operation Baby Lift in Saigon back in 1975, and we will be talking, and that's why I started with reading the whole first story about Father Michael Judge, and back in 9/11, and we remember those images of him carrying his body out to the church and how he had helped so many different people. and how playing catch went from he and his son to Father Michael and his son. Leanne, we got to the point where the president makes an announcement about Operation Baby Lift in Saigon.
Exactly. And the next sentence out of their mouths when I arrived there was, "You won't help us take out 6 babies, you'll help us take out 300. And so they took me to this orphanage center where really there were hundreds of babies gathered because bombs were dropping and they were gathering from all the rest of the country in our foster homes. And the photo that you mentioned is when we loaded them up for Operation Baby Lift. I did have 22 babies in a Volkswagen van sitting all over the floor in the seats. And we took them to a waiting city bus. From there, we took them to the airport, helped load them into a C-141 cargo jet, 22 boxes side by side. And there were 9 of us to take care of 100 babies all the way to the United States. And in the midst of that chaos, the baby boy that we'd applied to adopt, we thought in 3 years, picked me. So I came home with a son.
Wow. Incredible. Have you kept touch, or have any of them kept touch with you over the years?
Yes. We've actually had several reunions. And the last one, I got to see them with their children, which was pretty amazing. And now with the Internet, of course, we can stay more connected. And I still get emails and cards from some of them, which is an ongoing blessing in my life.
Let's talk a little bit about, I saw it to be an opportunity to have you on to talk about the stories, the 70 stories, and seeing God's action in our lives, because I've done one interview with Chicken Soup for the Soul way back in the past. In 1995 was the last time I did one of these books, and I know you've done a number of the books, but you are also involved in self-care for health care, and these are figures from 2017, not the fantastic job that nurses are doing today, but even then, 63% of nurses were currently experiencing burnout from their jobs. High levels of burnout adversely affect patient outcomes and patient satisfaction. So tell us a little bit about this program, especially in a time when we need to be so grateful for the efforts of our healthcare providers.
Right, and those statistics, of course, were before all of these challenges with COVID-19. When I wrote my own book about Operation Baby Lift, I began speaking about lessons I learned. And my presentations were called Balancing Life in Your War Zones. I believe we have to be strong of mind, body, and spirit to cope in the everyday war zones, not just war. And we're certainly experiencing that again then. And that was so popular from the book and all that I began creating a whole program called Self-Care for Healthcare. And actually, it's applicable to everyone. We're going to just make it self-care and republish it again, because I actually give tools about how to care for our bodies, of course, with diet, exercise, and sleep. But I care for our minds with breathing and relaxation and positive thinking and laughter and forgiveness, and to care for our spirits. I get away with and make a living telling people they need to connect with God or whatever supreme being they connect with every day. We can't just wait for weekends, I tell them. We have to spend time connecting with our supreme being, our higher power, our gods, every day. And that program has been, it was just amazing. It just took off, because that's exactly what healthcare workers needed even before all of this, and to become more resilient, to cope with all the stressors in caring for patients and balancing lives with their families. That's what the program offers, and it's just been amazing how they have told me they benefit from it.
Yes, thank you for that. Let's get back to the book and talk about one of your favorite stories. There's 70 of them, but What is one of the ones that inspires you, that touches your heart and soul?
Well, I have to admit, my very favorite one is called The Miracle of Medjugorje by Bernice Duello, and that's my mom.
Yes.
And she told me her story, and I wrote it, and we included it in the book. And briefly, Mom was in her 80s. She was really the most devout. Many people say this. Mother really was the most devout Catholic woman I've ever met. Such a prayerful, very connected with the Blessed Virgin, and very, just very, very religious and Catholic, and a role model for us all. And when she was in her 80s, she went to Medjugorje in Bosnia, of course, where she took part and climbed the mountain with all the other people. And one of their things that they did on the tour every year, the same tour guide, they would go to the grocery store and buy bags of groceries to give to the needy in that part of the country and in that community. And so they went to the grocery store and they got 30 bags of groceries, and they counted the 30 bags into the back of this great big bus. And as the driver was going down the road, they would take the stop and take the bag into, one was a bombed out house, and another was with a disabled young child. And these were all such heartwarming and heartbreaking moments. And the bus driver mistakenly pulled up to a house, and a young man and a little boy and a young man came running out, and the guide said, "No, they're not on the list today. They're not on the list. We have to drive past." And so as they pulled away, Mom said, "Everybody on the bus, their hearts were just breaking because this young man and his son were waiting for this gift of food." And they went on and they delivered the other 29 gifts, and their hearts still sad, and they had delivered 30 bags of groceries to 30 people, and they looked in the back of the bus, and there was one more bag.
Yes.
And Mom said they drove back, and the young man and his son came running out as if they were expecting them.
There are many wonderful stories, I'll bet, like that. Today, you think about how much food is being passed out to people who are in need of it. I'm sure that it's happening out in your area. It's happening certainly in our area almost every night somewhere differently, where boxes, one or two boxes of food, sometimes it's vegetables and other kinds of food to families, and it can go anywhere from hundreds even to 1,000 or more people. And there are so many ways in which we're able to help people, aren't they? It can happen as professionals. You were a nurse yourself when Operation Baby Lift happened, and now you have a great love for nurses and try to help them. But then it can happen by just the simple things that we do, can't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I often say you don't have to go to Vietnam. You don't have to rescue 300 babies. We can make a difference every day with little things that we do in our life. There was a sign of a burn unit in Vietnam when I was there, where an American plastic surgeon set up a clinic to help the kids that were burned by the war and disfigured. And above the doorway, he wrote, "It's better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness." And every bag of food and every small portion that anybody gives somebody else now and always is really lighting that single candle.
Yes, for sure. There is a story titled Spirit in the Classroom on page 49 that can inform us, inspire us as to the little things we do and say. Sometimes we're motivated. We don't even know the full effect of what we're saying or what we're doing, but we believe that it is good. And here, it's a man or a woman by the name of Christy Dugan telling this story about how she was part of a youth group that met on Wednesday nights whenever she was in high school. And she said that one night she was sitting on the floor listening to the youth pastor when she heard a voice in her head. And that doesn't always mean you have some mental problem. could be very well the spirit that is speaking there to you. She hears a voice in her head, and she says it kept telling her, go to the microphone, I have something for you to say. And it isn't always exact words like that, but it's a thought process. Most of the times you just know that you should be doing this. And in that sense, it's being said to you. And so she argues with the voice in her head and looking around to see if anyone else was hearing things. I guess she was a little nervous about what was being asked of her. And the voice assures her and says, no, go ahead up on the stage and tell the man you need the microphone, and then I'll give you the words. How many people would feel comfortable doing that? Go up on a stage and do what I tell you, and I'll tell you what you have to say. And of course, she begins to wonder if she has lost her mind. And however, she finds herself on the small stage. She does what the voice is telling her, and she interrupts the pastor, who is just about to dismiss the group, he gives her the microphone. And she stands there before about 60 teenagers like herself. And she says, I don't know where the words came from. And I've had that at times. I'll bet you have, too. When you're writing, you don't always know where those words come from.
Oh, that's so true.
And you say, did I say that? As spokesman for our diocese, I would look at a playback of an interview on television, I'd say, did I say that? Or did I write that? But so she didn't know where the words came from. And she heard herself saying, someone here tonight is planning to commit suicide, and the Lord has asked me to come up here and tell you not to do it. And he has a plan for you and loves you. Tell someone how you feel. And I've had that a bit in that situation a couple of times. One was on Christmas Eve when there was a person, I do this overnight program from midnight till 5 or 6 in the morning at that time. And I always close with, don't forget how precious life is and how powerful love is. And this person was in Florida and was listening to the program, turning the dial to try to find something religious because she was going to commit suicide. And yet when she heard the words, don't forget how precious life is and how powerful love is, she decided not to do it. There's more to the story, but I don't want to make it my story, but just to say that sometimes when we read these stories, we select our favorites because of how we've shared in that experience of that person in some way. And that's why we speak to one another in those ways in terms of our own stories of salvation. And certainly God speaks to us that way. So let me go back. So she says, I don't know where these words come from, but someone tonight is planning to commit suicide. And the Lord has asked me to come up here and tell you not to do it. And so she sits down fast. She's in shock at what she had done. Can't believe it. Probably wondering what people are going to say. But she says the story doesn't end there. And the students are just looking at her. Her friends are just looking at her oddly. But a couple of months later, her mother happens to meet a woman in the church, and they exchange some words. And then the woman tells her mother a story about her daughter. And her daughter had been planning to commit suicide, but she didn't. She arrived home one night after the youth group and told her mom what she was thinking about doing and what I had said that night. And that changed her. So it's so very incredible that we don't always know the power of our words. We don't always know those moments when God is speaking through us. And I would think that even in Saigon, you had to use some words to get yourself out of that situation.
Indeed. Indeed. And I think the point of the story as well is I often say that we need to listen to that deep inner voice. I have some friends who say they actually do hear God speaking in words.
And yes.
I have not had that privilege in my life, but I think we can all relate to that deep inner voice when we are really still and be still and really think quietly and listen to what our thoughts are, what we are encouraged to be thinking and doing. God does speak to us, and what courage it took for that young Christy to get up and speak when she had no idea what she was going to say.
Right. And during the second hour of our program, I haven't done it for a while, I'm going to invite people to call in with any stories that you might have. I'd be curious about the coronavirus stories or passing out food or how God has entered your life in a new way or how you've been able to bring the spirit of God's love into someone else. So just that kind of a story, if you'd like to share that, we'll give you the opportunity to do that during the second hour, and I'll give you the phone number at that particular time. Is there another story that you would like to tell?
One of my really favorites was, I think the title is Please God, Let It Snow.
Yes.
Because it was a woman was teaching elementary kids and wanted to teach them. Now, they live in the South, understand. And I think they're like maybe third graders or so. And she wanted to teach them the power of prayer. So she said, let's all collectively vote and offer ideas about what we should all pray for. And then let's watch it come to fruition. Let's watch it happen. Well, they discussed lots of different things, but wouldn't you know, the whole class unanimously decided they wanted to pray for snow on Easter. Well,
yes.
The likelihood of that in Oklahoma in that month was very, very slim. Well, this wonderful woman also had a second ministry, and she and her husband worked with youth in prison. And so she told the youth in prison that what she had said to the kids, and they were all going to pray to have it snow. And so they were all praying fervently, and she especially, because she really knew that this was a really difficult prayer, but surely God can answer any prayer. And wouldn't you know, it was about Good Friday, and it started to snow. And all the kids started calling each other and calling her, saying, God did answer our prayers. It is snowing. And she went back and then talked to the kids that were in prison and told them that story. And they themselves said then, I really never believed in prayer. I wasn't sure I believed in God. But now I do.
Yes, and they learned that with God all things are possible. And sorry we ever doubted you. The other said he answers our prayers too. That, and sometimes we doubt God's goodness. We doubt God's love. We can't imagine that God is going to do something for us, and we don't. We just have to have faith ourselves. We don't know exactly when that is going to happen, or how it is going to happen. But we have to trust. What we need to do is to trust in the love of that person. It's much like trusting in the love of someone who's really close to us. We ask him to help us to do something, and then we know they're going to do it. We don't always know how they're going to do it, but after a while, we begin to learn a little bit about them and how they do things, and it's almost like we begin to develop our own personal relationship with God, with Jesus, and we understand one another better, and we draw closer to one another, and we begin to understand then some of the gifts that have been given to us, how the gift of prayer, for example, has been given to us. And we undervalue prayer, it seems. Even now, at this time, many people, there are so many ways in which all kinds of forms of evil can be overcome. So we're going to take this break. We're going to come back and speak again with Leanne Thiemann about a few more stories about the book is titled Seeing God's Action in Our Lives.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.